This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. One of the engines from that American Airlines regional jet that collided with a Black Hawk helicopter has been removed from the Potomac River in Washington this morning. Over the weekend, the families of some of the 67 people who were killed were allowed to visit the crash site. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Panama right now. He is discussing ownership of the Panama Canal and also today watched a repatriation flight take off. It was carrying Colombian migrants back to Colombia.
This is an effective way to stem the flow of illegal migration, of mass migration, which is destructive and destabilizing. And it would have been impossible to do without the strong partnership we have here with our friends and allies in Panama.
Worries about President Trump's tariffs against Mexico and Canada and China are hurting U.S. stocks today as financial markets worry about a potential trade war. Everything from Bitcoin to the Mexican peso fell, as did the stocks of several U.S. companies. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin Republicans are working to ban cell phones in schools. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Sturgeon Bay Assemblyman Joel Kitchens is sponsoring the measure. It has not been formally introduced yet. It would require school districts come up with ways to keep students from using their devices, phones, laptops, tablets during instructional time. According to a Pew Research survey from last year, more than 70% of high school teachers say devices in class are a major problem. It would be up to each district to decide how they would store students' devices. One of the biggest parts of the pushback to these plans is that parents want their kids to have their phones in case of emergencies. According to Everytown for Gun Safety, there were about 220 school shooting events in America last year. This proposal includes exceptions for emergencies, for students with disabilities, and those who use their devices for health reasons. Indiana, Minnesota, and Ohio have recently passed measures restricting phone use in schools. Meanwhile, the Department of Public Instruction confirmed to me that they've also been looking into phone bans in classrooms. That includes checking out this legislation from other states. Now, they don't have a position either way yet. For now, they're just exploring the issue. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Supporters of the bill say one of the trickiest issues to resolve is how to enforce the ban. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction says 93 school referendum questions will be appearing on ballots this spring, with 5 appearing on the February 18th primary ballot and the remaining 88 on the April 1st spring election ballot. February's referendums include Mauston, which is seeking an operational referendum to avoid dissolving as a school district. In April, districts going to referendum include Arcadia, Bangor, Cochrane Fountain City, DeSoto, Holman, Independence, Melrose-Mindoro, New Lisbon, Prairie du Chien, Viroqua, and Whitehall. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
Turnovers kill the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost at home to the Memphis Grizzlies, 132-119. Memphis out-rebounded Milwaukee, 61-36. But that's just half the story. The Bucks let the game slip away in the fourth quarter. Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I mean, you when you get down the stretch of games, in a close game, you got to take care of the ball. You know, it's important to make sure that we get a shot on every possession if you want to win a game, and we can't have turnovers down the stretch of a game.
Memphis has now beat Milwaukee the last 7 times in a row, dating back to January of 2022, and now the Bucks have to play the Thunder tonight in Oklahoma City. In men's speed skating at the Pettit Ice Center in Milwaukee, Eric Stoltz with a second-place silver medal in the 500-meter. That snapped a streak of 22 wins in competition. NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles arrived in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. That's coming up this Sunday night, kickoff at 5:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Patchy fog, light snow, and some freezing drizzle possible this morning. Then mostly cloudy here through the day today. Our high right around 33 this afternoon. Tonight down to 12. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, 24 on Wednesday. More freezing rain and light snow with a high of 31. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat Harvey K. joins to reflect on the legacy of the birthday boys Thomas Paine and FDR. Also, will tariffs on Canada and Mexico lower prices for Wisconsinites? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Monday, February 3rd. The average price of a gallon of milk in Wisconsin, $3.14. And the average price of a dozen grade A large eggs in Wisconsin, 5 1/4. That is essentially the same as it was when we wrapped up the show on Friday. Greg Bach is still on vacation. He'll be back tomorrow. Coming up at 10:33, Emily Zephos. Calvin is going to be joining us once again. She's the county chair for the Outagamie Democrats. And we're going to talk about the fact that Ben Wickler, Wisconsin's own Ben Wickler, did not get the crown to head the DNC that went to the Minnesota organizer. We're going to talk about Emily with that coming up. Also, a little segment on rewriting history under the second Trump administration. There are things disappearing from government-related websites all over the place. This concerns me. I would think that it would concern you as well. We will talk about that with Emily coming up at 10:50 next hour at 11 o'clock. Tariffs and you. Tariffs and us, I guess we could say. One good thing, as we were coming on the air this morning, the Trump administration has now agreed to pause the tariffs on Mexico for a month while they work on hammering out an agreement. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum announcing earlier this morning that in a conversation with Donald Trump, Mexico has agreed to fortify the border with 10,000 National Guard troops. Donald Trump will also speak today with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. The 25% tariffs aimed at Mexico and Canada are set to kick in early tomorrow. Donald Trump also announcing 10% tariffs against China. I find it kind of interesting that considering that China is supposed to be our biggest enemy, that they get a tariff break, if you would. Why is their tariff 10% and we're going after China and Mexico, or China, Canada and Mexico with 25% tariffs? That's next hour, tariffs and you. Even Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson, Calvin, checking in this morning on tariffs.
Yeah, you know something's wrong when Ron Johnson's making sense.
Right? I mean, that doesn't happen very often. We will talk about that next hour. Also, yeah, I fell for it. I have to confess, I made a mistake, something I mentioned on Pat Kreitlow's show earlier this morning. I blew it, and I'll own it. That's coming up at 11:20, 11:33 next hour. He cheats? I'm shocked that there are allegations of cheating against co-president Elon Musk. Calvin has some inside information about this scandal. We'll have that at 11:33, and we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Just Try and Take It edition that is coming your way around 11:51. Dodd, want to start off, though, with Wisconsin-related news. Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a new column out. Headline reads, Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel jokes he's out wearing knee pads campaigning. Yeah, I saw that headline this morning. It's like, what? In any major race, according to Daniel Bice, you find a lot of unexpected stuff out about the top candidates. Waukesha County Circuit Judge Brad Schimmel, of course, the conservative candidate running for Wisconsin Supreme Court and running against Dane County Circuit Judge Susan Crawford. That election, by the way, April 1st. Now it's coming to light, according to Daniel Bice. The former Republican governor general likes to joke he regularly visits the hardware store for knee pads when he's hitting up supporters. Quote, I have to invest in knee pads. You know, I've got to go to Menards, invest in knee pads to crawl around begging people. Please, please, please consider getting involved and consider supporting my race, unquote. He told this to members of the 2nd Congressional District Republican Party in June. Apparently, he's mentioned this to others previously. Schimmel told people at a meet and greet on August 6th, I'm doing it, quote, by calling and begging people, cajoling, by stopping at Menards for a new set of knee pads every couple of days. That's how I have to raise the money. Now, I'm not disputing that it is very, very ridiculously expensive, actually, to run a campaign in Wisconsin. I mean, the last Wisconsin Supreme Court race that saw Janet Protasiewicz elected onto the court set a new record for spending. So we are going to see that again, most likely, for this election on April 1st. I think a lot of us agree, and I certainly know some of our listeners do, that there's too much money in politics and things would work much better if that were not the case. But this is where we are. Last year, liberal Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Dallet had to cancel giving a keynote speech at a fundraising dinner for the Dane County chapter of the NAACP over concerns she might be violating the judicial code. Brad Schimmel, though, who is not supposed to be hitting up donors for cash, because again, according to the state's judicial conduct code, a judge, candidate for judicial office, or judge-elect shall not personally solicit or accept campaign contributions. That is the job of the candidate's campaign committee. This seems, Calvin, like it could be problematic.
Well, and I'm not completely buying it. Like, he's acting like he's connected, he's on the ground, knocking on doors, begging people to support him. But in reality, the people he's begging are Diane Hendricks and Liz Uihlein. Because that's who's going to be funding this campaign. It's not going to be the $100 and less donations that fund his campaign. It's going to be the $1 million investments from billionaires.
We know Elon's all about this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. He's already commented on it. And I'm sure we can see his billions pouring into the race. Again, I go back to all the screeching about Zuckerbucks a few years ago when Mark Zuckerberg established a grant program for which municipalities could apply for extra money to run their elections. That included, I don't know, ballots, people to staff, all those things. Republican and Democratic municipalities were recipients of that money, and yet that got shut down. Now there's a constitutional amendment that can't happen anymore. After all the outcry over the Zuckerbucks, but Elmo Bucks apparently are a different category. Not so concerned about Elon's money. Well, he is the co-president now, I guess, so shouldn't be that big of a surprise. Going back to this article from Daniel Bice in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel. Brad Schimmel told a conservative radio host in April, he knew personally a lot of outside groups are committed to making sure conservatives get control of the Supreme Court. I'm going to read that again. A lot of outside groups are committed to making sure conservatives get control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's estimated these groups will spend between $10 and $15 million on the race. You do have to wonder, Calvin, what is it that these donors, these outside donors, will be getting in exchange for this money?
Well, you can probably start to guess by based off the people that they support for Congress and that kind of thing. They'll probably, it will be a judge who will uphold the 1842 abortion ban. It will be a judge that will uphold Act 10 or the striking down of Act 10 under Walker. It will be all sorts of things that benefit the billionaire class and conservative ideology.
Yes. What you said is a mouthful, and you're absolutely right. They expect to get something in return for all of their millions of dollars that they're going to pour into this race. And I guess you can say that about both sides. I'm assuming that Susan Crawford will be taking money from outside groups, but this should be concerning for all of us. And it's the double standard again, going back to these Zuckerbucks. Zuckerbucks are evil. Zuckerbucks are bad. Mark Zuckerberg was trying to influence elections in Wisconsin. That can't happen. Just imagine if George Soros made a public statement and said, hey, Wisconsin, I'm really interested in your Supreme Court race. I'm really concerned about this outcome, and I'm going to pour Soros dollars into Wisconsin to make sure that Susan Crawford is placed on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Just imagine the outcry.
Well, yeah, I mean, Elon Musk is everything the right told us Soros was for the left.
Absolutely.
He has the probably most social media influence of any singular person just from owning Twitter and being able to force feed his posts to everyone on the platform. And he's a billionaire, and he is very evidently out for his own interests.
No.
And he's, it's just ridiculous and mind-boggling.
This is where we are. This is our reality. Again, on one good note this morning, everybody, at least for right now, your avocados aren't going to cost $9 a piece, because that's kind of what we were on the precipice of after the president of Mexico announced that the tariffs Donald Trump had threatened, 25% tariffs against Mexico, he has agreed to pause those for a month while hammering out an agreement with the president of Mexico. So again, for right now, you can keep having that avocado toast and you won't have to take out a loan. That's so nice. Coming up, we have an update on the Milwaukee Housing Authority, and this is something that we've been following for a while, thanks to our contacts at Common Ground, and the news just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, unfortunately. We have an update coming up for you. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A swing man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Just
Eagle 1490 AM.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower. iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad Captain Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
Community is more than where you live. It's the people in it who show up each day and help it thrive. During Black History Month and year-round, AARP recognizes the everyday excellence of those who give back to their Wisconsin communities. They believe when efforts drive change for the greater good, everyone thrives together. Connect and learn what AARP is doing locally and how they can make the communities better for all ages. Visit aarp.org/WI. Paid for by AARP.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Sweet Gal B, coming to you live from her studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Emily Zephos will be back to join me for a half an hour. We're going to talk about Ben Wickler did not, unfortunately, get enough votes to become the head of the national DNC. We'll talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to talk about what it looks like, the second Trump administration's effort to just erase history by removing things from the web and just disappearing things. We're going to be talking about that after the 10:30 news. Stick around for that. Just a reminder as well, be a voter. It's and I know, Calvin, people are tired of hearing this, how important it is, and this next election is really, really important. It's really important.
Well, yeah, I mean, as someone who is obviously really plugged into politics, I feel like every election is really important.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Supreme Court, it's the last line of defense in many ways. So preserving the makeup that we have right now is going to go a long way to keeping our state fair and that kind of stuff.
Hey, do we want to go back to the old maps? We just got fairer maps. We just got them, like within the last year, and we're gonna flip that all back and go backwards, which does seem to be the goal of one particular political party, is going backwards because things were so great back in the day. But yes, that these are very important elections. The spring primary is February 18th. That is for the state's superintendent of public schools. There's going to be a primary for that. And then the spring general election, where the Supreme Court race will come up, is Tuesday, April 1st. If you are not registered to vote, if you don't know where to go, if you don't know who's running, if you don't know who represents you, go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address, and that will bring up all of the information you need, including where you go to vote, when to cast your ballots, who you will be voting for. Take advantage of it. Check it out. Takes you 2 minutes. Myvote.wi.gov. I did want to mention this morning because we have talked a number of times about the Housing Authority of Milwaukee and the many, many problems this agency has been having over the last couple of years. This from Ryan Jenkins of TMJ4. People who live at the Housing Authority of the City of Milwaukee outraged to learn the agency is now at risk of bankruptcy. They could go bankrupt in as little as 45 days after using certain monies, certain funds, to pay for staff salaries and benefits. Multiple sources have confirmed an email sent by the chief financial officer, Brad Leak, got sent out to several board commissioners on Monday. This is not good news for members of the housing authority. And especially if they're spending it on benefits and salaries. And in case we have forgotten, Willie Hines, who was the executive director of the housing authority, just retired on January 1st, and he walked away with a really, really nice package. Not only did he pull in a sweet, sweet salary, he's now, for the rest of his life, Willie Hines will be getting $11,609.36. That's not bad. That seems like a pretty good little cushion you got there, Willie. And yet the agency that he runs, or ran, I should say, is now at risk of bankruptcy. Chris Logan, who lives at the Mitchell Court Tower near 26th and National, says, now they're talking about going bankrupt? What are we supposed to do? Everybody is sending in their rent right now. We paid our rent. So now what? What is going to happen? And again, the people who live in buildings owned by the Milwaukee Housing Authority are at the very lower income. These are people who are already struggling. And they're not asking for hot tubs in their apartments. They would just like to have fewer rats and fewer roaches and maybe outside lighting. They're not asking for extreme measures in order to make their lives more comfortable. They would just like the ability to live safely, I don't know, without cockroaches crawling in their ears when they're trying to sleep at night. This is very, very disturbing about the Milwaukee Housing Authority. And I find it equally disturbing that Mayor Cavalier Johnson, at least from what I have seen, has not come out and spoken forcefully about this. Maybe I've missed it, Calvin. Maybe the mayor's come up, out and speaking out against what seemed to be some pretty widespread abuses at the Housing Authority, and yet nothing from the mayor's office.
Yeah, I mean, I don't live in Milwaukee, so I won't be too critical of the mayor, but I don't see a lot from him on a lot of these type of things. I don't remember or recall him making a strong statement about the issues MPS is currently struggling with either. It seems, I'm not exactly sure where his focus is right now, but it doesn't seem to be very well focused.
I would agree with you. Just kind of quiet on some of these things that are affecting lots and lots of folks. And unfortunately, I think this feeds into the narrative of, we don't have very much money, so therefore you don't feel compelled to respond to us because we can't help you monetarily. And that's not the way it should be. As an elected official, you're supposed to represent all of us, no matter where you fall on the economic scale. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, Emily Zufos will be joining us for the next half an hour. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. News is next. Stay with us. Such a happy time. I don't remember how it breaks. If we waste the day away, then we'd say nothing would come between us. Two dreamers. Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our house. Was our castle and our king. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, that was where we used to sleep.
This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin State Surplus is now over $4 billion. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
There's more of your money piling up in Madison. Wisconsin's budget surplus has been revised upwards to $4.3 billion. That's according to the latest figures from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. It's up from the previously estimated $4 billion. Governor Tony Evers will soon present his budget proposal, which is expected to initiate a series of negotiations with Republicans over how to use that money.
Republicans in the state legislature are at odds with Democrats as well as Governor Tony Evers on what to do with the surplus funds. The City of La Crosse is set to consider a new ordinance banning the outdoor release of balloons. According to a proposed ordinance document filed with the city's Judicial and Administrative Committee, the ban would apply to outdoor releases of balloons lighter than air. It carves out exceptions for scientific or weather balloons as well as hot air balloons. Mayor Mitch Reynolds said that the balloons released outdoors end up polluting the environment and can affect grazing livestock. The committee meets tomorrow. The first round of winter weather this week is making its way through the Coulee region today, causing some slippery road conditions, especially for areas north of La Crosse. Snowfall totals are expected to be under an inch for La Crosse County, but are expected to be higher just north of the area between La Crosse and Eau Claire. Another bout is on tap for Wednesday when mixed precipitation moves through. Highs this week will be in the upper 20s to the low 40s, cooler than last week. We'll have more details coming up in our Civic Media forecast. Absentee ballots have been sent out by election clerks around the state as the spring primary arrives on February 18th. On Tuesday, in-person absentee voting begins, and the deadline to request an absentee ballot is on February 13th. The spring primary will be held on February 18th statewide from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. You can visit the Wisconsin Election Commission's website for more information. To check on your registration status or to see what's on your ballot, go to myvote.wi.gov. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Oscars are just 4 weeks away, and if you missed some of the Best Picture nominees the first time around or don't have access to the films in theaters, don't despair. The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, I'm Still Here, and Nickel Boys are unavailable to stream at the moment, but the rest of the nominees are available to watch in the comfort of your own home. Anora, Wicked, and The Substance are all on pay-per-view for anywhere from $4 to $20. 20 big ones might sound like a lot, but oftentimes is cheaper than actually going to the theater. The following potential Best Pick winners are free if you have the appropriate platforms. Conclave is on Peacock, you can catch A Real Pain on Hulu, and Amelia Perez is available on Netflix. Check them out. It will make watching the Oscars more fun. And at those prices, you can't afford not to be a couch potato. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Overcast today with spotty sprinkles possible. Temperatures are hovering in the low to mid-30s, and we become cold tonight. Falling to the single digits and battling a wind chill tomorrow, we'll be waking up to feeling sub-zero, and highs really more like the teens. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 33 at our studios.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin-based comedian Eli Pills and Nightlight frequent flyer, musician, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Sweet Galby on the board. Greg off until tomorrow. We're coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, either or, at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, big controversy within the gaming world, Calvin. Ooh, Elon cheats? I'm shocked. We'll have all the details coming up next hour after the 11:30 news. Right now, though, we are joined by the Democratic Party chair in Outagamie County, former educator and a mom, Emily Zephos, is here. Good morning, Emily. Thanks so much for taking time to join me today. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Great to have you here. I don't know, were you surprised by this? We're going to start by talking about Ben Wickler, the head of Wisconsin Democrats. Of course, the vote was on Saturday to decide who was going to head the national party, and Ben Wickler didn't make it. Ken Martin, the longest-serving Minnesota chair, elected. He was elected the head of the DNC on Saturday. Did you expect Ben to have a good shot at it or no?
I think he launched a really great campaign, you know, and we saw the momentum that he had with the big endorsements. He's been on a lot of national outlets and things like that, and Ben knows how to do that really, really well. I anticipated that Ken Martin would be another frontrunner. And I think like the discrepancy in the votes, like I was a little more than I expected. But again, considering the the population that was voting, it seemed like Ken really worked those channels really, really well. So,
well, on the one
hand, he was a vice chair as well previously, which, you know,
well, that and that gives you a little bit of an in right there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, on the one hand, I guess I'm glad because I feel like Ben is ours and we want to keep him. He's ours and he's done a good job here in Wisconsin. And, you know, you would hate to see us lose that. At the same time, though, when we had spoken, even just leading up to the election, Emily, you had some suggestions for what you would like to see happen on a state level when it comes to the Democratic Party. Can we talk about some of the changes that you would like to see?
Yeah, I think like it's interesting because I know that Ken has really great like a background in organizing and with working with working class people and things like that. Ben does a great job organizing. But I think like for me, I'm looking at it from a county level, like the actual boots on the ground of it all, like way far removed from the tippy top of the DNC. And I really like to see like more year-round organizing that is supported by the staff members of the Wisconsin Democratic Party so that we can be as effective as possible come midterms. And I really believe that, of course, we have that really important April election coming up, but we need to be building now. Like we need to be prioritizing that now so we are better positioned once we get to the midterms.
Yeah, the door knocking should almost start next week.
We're door knocking.
Are you door knocking already?
Yes. Yeah, we had our first weekend of action last weekend. So our volunteers are already out on doors. And we're really, you know, we're trying to make sure every Democrat turns out to vote for Judge Crawford. And so we're doing that. We're going to do it through the primary with the DPI. Continue on into April.
Mm-hmm. What are you hearing at doors? I'm just curious now that you just got this underway. Are people just like, I don't want to vote anymore?
It's always like, oh, you again, but there's no off season in
right.
Wisconsin. And so like, I think that our folks, we've knocked on we're going to kind of the same territories right now that we've always gone to just to be like, hey, turn out. And so they're familiar with us.
I bet.
It's a lot of educating the electorate on like the stakes, right? When it comes to the SCOUS, like the Supreme Court here in Wisconsin, how damaging it's going to be to us, because it is all about positioning these judges from the very most local courts up through SCOTUS to make sure that they've got their lackeys in place
yep.
to further an agenda. And so we really need to make sure we maintain the liberal lean of our Supreme Court here in Wisconsin.
I just think, again, we just got fair maps. We just got them. And if Brad Schimmel is elected to the court, they're going to overturn that and we're going to go back to what it was. And I just don't think Wisconsinites want that. I think Wisconsin, that's why Janet Protasiewicz was elected with such an enormous, I mean, that was a, people say, oh, it was a landslide. No, that was a landslide win for Janet Protasiewicz. It really was.
Yeah, it was. And I think too, like when you know, overwhelmingly Wisconsinites want actual representation, right? Those fair maps. And so like messaging right on doors is something that we've talked about before, is that we need to make sure that we are hitting that home. Same thing on the line here. If you want those fair maps, you need to make sure that you're voting for Judge Crawford.
Well, and again, it making sure that your representatives actually have some pressure so they have to respond to things that are of concern to you.
Especially because there's so much to be concerned about.
Absolutely.
You know, at the state and federal level. Yeah, I agree with you there 100%.
And one other thing that you had mentioned, and one of my sisters was very involved leading up to the November election, and she talked about all the door knockers that were coming from other states. Which, you know, in Illinois, because they were fairly certain that they were going to stay blue in Illinois. So a lot of door knockers came up and from all over the country, actually. And at the time when my sister told me that, I thought, well, isn't that great? But there is a downside to that.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And I think like it's the homegrown grassroots efforts, right? Like I always tell people that I'm working with, there is no more powerful vehicle than a neighbor talking to a neighbor. Because you are a known and trusted entity, and you could vouch for people in a way that no ad, no out-of-stater or out-of-towner ever can. And I think, like, too, we're uniquely with the Democrats, right, is that we are being painted as this elitist, out-of-touch kind of thing. So to have someone at a door that, I mean, I'm grateful for the help. We need to talk to all the people. So if you're listening from Illinois, please come and help.
Yeah, it's not like we don't want you, but.
Yes, but we also need to empower our own people, right, to be like, no one potentially is coming to save us. So we need to make sure that we within our own ranks are building up our grassroots efforts and our outreach so that we can take care of our own here in Wisconsin. And when we do that, we are as effective as possible.
Well, it's got to be impactful when you're standing at someone's door, you know, doorway, and you shop at the same grocery store and your kids go to the same schools and ride the same buses. And as opposed to someone coming from Massachusetts, it's like, well, that's all great, but you are living an entirely different economic reality than what's happening on the ground in Wisconsin. That's why it's so important to have that local connection.
Yeah, I agree. And I think like being on those doors, I don't know how many times I've, you know, like connected with parents whose kids are at the same school as my kids and stuff like that. And it is a much more impactful conversation because it allows you to like immediately find common ground where politically we're told you don't have that anymore. And so it's really impactful when you're able to do that too. So it's like what we're going to try to do in Outagamie County anyway, is that through April's election, it kind of is like business as normal and that we're trying to turn people out. But really like after that building period from May this year till May-ish of 2026, really trying to connect with our neighbors about issues that are important to them. So we're going to be watching the budget closely to make sure that we are talking to them about what's happening and being cut or prioritized in the budget and how it's going to serve their community or not. And then responding to all of the different ill effects that the Trump administration is going to have on a local level. So, right, if we have mass deportations happen, you know, like that, it is a huge issue right now. People are fearful for their lives and livelihoods. We want to be able to say, hey, that meatpacking plant, they're not functioning at full capacity because of this policy choice. And we talked about this last week too, but making sure that our communities are talking to their neighbors about all of those things in a way that resonates with them.
Absolutely. And someone who understands the real life experience that they're having. And that's where that local is so important, that local contact is so important. So for anybody listening, and we've talked about this repeatedly since the election, I know people are exhausted. I know people are frustrated. I know people are bordering on hopelessness. The best way to combat that, even if you do a little thing, that's the best way to fight those feelings of despair, is getting involved. And maybe door knocking's not your thing, but you can write postcards. You can stuff envelopes. There are other things that you can do, even if you only do and you volunteer once a week. Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be this massive drain on your time. If you don't have time for it or you don't have the energy for it, there are volunteer opportunities for you depending upon your situation.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note that, like, I mean, the county party, what I like about the county party is that we have the infrastructure across the state to really flex in moments of crisis and make sure that we are like rowing in the same direction with one voice so that we can, you know, flood a media market. Like, let's say that they are cutting you know, funding in a crazy way for our public schools, which they've been doing historically,
yes.
but organizing us around that, right? And so you should be looking to your county parties to do that direct voter contact, which is the calls and the door knocking and the postcarding. But also, like, we're looking to like have an increased digital presence, and we're looking to offer like community aid. And so those county parties, like, help them build up, you know, their capacity so that they can operate in all the ways that I think we need to in order to be more successful down the road.
And that's the place to start too, isn't it, Emily, is to contact your county party. So yeah. I would love to say everyone should contact Emily Zephos in Outagamie yeah. County. But yeah. if you live in Racine County or you live in Barron County, you want to yeah. contact your own county Democratic Party to find out how you can get involved and what you can do. Again, depending upon your availability, it's not like there's some requirement that you put in so many hours in order to be a volunteer.
Yeah. And I think too, like, an important note, Jane, is that like we have all of these different, there are tons of incredible organizations that are doing the work and have been doing it across the state. So step into that too. But one of my frustrations is always that we like don't ever, we don't marry the electoral side to the like cause side enough, like to the organizing side. And we really need to make sure, so like hop into your local, like, you know, Indivisible group or League of Conservation Voters, whatever it is. But then when it comes time to executing a field plan, we really need you to be a part of the talking to your neighbors piece. So don't think, you know, like I always tell people, yes, there are a lot of people that are, you know, we want to protest and there is a time and a place for that. And it makes a point, but you really need to involve yourself a little bit deeper in the less, like, I don't want to say shiny, but it's the really hard work that yep. is often goes unnoticed and unappreciated. But that's where we really need you to.
It's the not sexy things.
Yes, it's
not
so sexy.
It's
but
not
it's
so,
fun.
I'm sure it is. But I think too, Emily, and I think it's important for people to realize that not everyone is confident with, you know, knocking on some stranger's door. You don't have to be that point person. You can be yeah. just the side person until you are comfortable doing that on your own. It's not like the party is going to throw you out there and say, yep, you're on your own. Good luck.
No. Yeah. We offer, there's, I mean, we're really pitching the county parties hard and I love it. We are doing like a lot of different trainings and things like that. So we always, our canvassers are able to buddy up across the state. We are able to, like, you know, make sure that you're feeling comfortable and well equipped if you're going to go on doors. Otherwise, if there's a lot of like organizational stuff behind the scenes that like is turf, you know, making sure that we have our lit packets ready to go and stuff like that. So just, they'll find a place for you no matter what it is.
And that's what my sister did, who got involved. She did a lot of putting things together and putting flyers together and making sure the packets were assembled. And there is something for everyone to do if you're not necessarily the one who wants to go knock on doors and get involved to that level. There's still a place for you. There's still something for you to do. We're going to continue our conversation with Emily Zephos. We're going to talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Also, a little segment about rewriting history. There are some disturbing things going on with our governmental websites, and we're only 2 weeks in. We'll have some details on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Girl, alone. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last April, federal cybersecurity agency CISA issued warnings to election officials on how to combat a Russian online scheme to mislead American voters in the 2024 election. CISA is now under attack by its own administration. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act was signed by President Donald Trump in 2018, with part of its mission to protect election systems. It played a vital role in hardening state and local computer systems prior to the 2024 election, supporting state election officials, and monitoring hacking and disinformation campaigns perpetrated by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. After the 2020 election, it refuted Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was manipulated. Trump fired its director, and CISA was targeted by Project 2025 for a dramatic overhaul, with some conservatives calling for the agency's elimination. Just before inauguration, President Biden issued an executive order requiring new CISA cybersecurity standards be implemented, but Trump immediately revoked it January 20th. CISA's highly qualified director, Jen Easterly, resigned on Inauguration Day. New Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said in her confirmation hearing, CISA had strayed from its mission by monitoring disinformation. As governor of South Dakota, she refused federal funding to harden cyber systems, calling it wasteful spending. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Calviente, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform, shedding users like a husky blowing its coat in spring. I'm working on it, Emily.
I love it.
It's just, I've been trying it out. I've been, you know, kind of throwing it out there, see how that works. Mm-hmm. Yes, and join us on Blue Sky. It's much nicer over there if you're looking for somewhere to go. Emily Zephos is our guest. She is the chair of the Democratic Party in Outagamie County. She's also a former educator and a mom, and we were talking right before we went to the break, Emily, about getting involved. And Sherry from Horicon texting in, I joined the Democratic Party in Dodge County. Good for you, Sherry. If you are looking for an entry point to get involved and do something, and again, not everybody's cut out to be a door knocker. Maybe you're more of an envelope stuffer. That's good, too. We need you there as well. Writing postcards. I know one of our listeners, Sue from Franklin, has already started writing postcards leading up to the primary, because we have the primary coming up first here in Wisconsin on the 18th, and then the general election on April 1st. So there's all kinds of ways for you to get involved. Please don't assume that somebody else is going to do it.
We're the ones we've been waiting for, Jane.
Yep, we absolutely are. I wanted to get to this real quickly because I shouldn't be surprised. He does seem to, I don't know, have ethics. Brian Hagedorn, Supreme Court Justice in Wisconsin, Brian Hagedorn has recused himself as the Supreme Court appears ready to hear a challenge to Act 10. Hagedorn recused himself because he was actually working for then-Governor Scott Walker in crafting Act 10. So he has recused himself from this. That seems to me like a very good stand-up move.
It's like a unicorn.
Right?
I was like, holy cow.
I know. And not all Republicans happy about that. Ooh, surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm. I know. I felt relieved by it. Like, I mean, he should recuse himself. Obviously, he worked as legal counsel for Walker during the crafting of that.
Right.
But it was nice to see some sort of like normalcy, I guess, in politics, because you just don't anymore.
You really don't. And now it's celebrated. Now the lack of ethics, to me at least, is bad behavior. We're celebrating bad behavior all the time. It's just, right, it's this, yeah, what happened to the standards and what happened to be good and ethical and honest? I don't know. But yes, well done, Brian Hagedorn, for displaying some ethics. Now that's why Republicans hate you. I think that should tell you something there. 855-752-4842. Brian from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Brian. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Yeah, I like the statement that you said to get involved, and I've been kind of sharing this with friends on Facebook. There's a website you can go to, usa.gov/elected-officials, and you can type in your address, and it will give you all the contact information for your federal officials, your state officials, and your local officials. With like addresses, phone numbers, whatever. I mean, these are the people we need to be, you know, reaching out to our representatives.
And it does make a difference, Brian. It actually does. And we've talked to enough elected officials over the last year and a half who say, and it is more, if you do a handwritten letter, I think that cuts through. And also phone calls. If there's enough volume of phone calls that our electeds are getting about one particular issue, at some point, you're going to think that they're going to have to respond to that. Right, Brian?
Right. And when I looked at it yesterday, when a friend sent me this link, I like looked at federal officials. I mean, you there's the phone number for Donald Trump. You want to reach out to his office? Go right ahead. You want to reach out to the Supreme Court? Go right ahead. You want to reach out to Tony Evers? There's the number. Go right ahead. You know, it's all there, which I think is just great. So
There are things we can do, right, Brian, without necessarily heading out the door and knocking on other doors. There are still ways to get involved. And another great website that we push a lot to, Brian, is myvote.wy.gov. That also, if you put in your address, will bring up the same information. All of your electeds, all of their contact information to vote and all of those things. Thank you so very much, Brian, and thank you so very much for getting involved. In the couple of minutes that we have left, Emily, I wanted to talk about this quickly, and we will be doing this again. During his first term, Donald Trump signed a congressional act naming a federally funded observatory after late astronomer Vera Rubin. By Monday morning, they had stripped a portion of her biography out because it pointed out the struggles that she had in the science realm. Vera Rubin, whose career began in the 1960s, faced a lot of barriers simply because she was a woman. She persisted in studying science when her male advisors told her she shouldn't. Her strength in overcoming the challenge is admirable, but Vera worked even harder to help other women navigate what was, during her career, a very male-dominated field, and they pulled it. Mm-hmm. They pulled it from her biography.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Completely changing it. And I think it's just a one instance of the attack that they are mounting on DEI or the boogeyman of the moment kind of thing. And it's just appalling. And it makes you just, I feel like that was a good example of what's happening.
Yes.
Like internally that we're not going to know all about and we're not going to see and things like that. It's really difficult to keep track of all of it, but it is like appalling and frightening.
Well, and there are a whole bunch of government websites now that have just disappeared and have been taken offline. It's only been 2 weeks. We're running out of time. We have news coming up next. Emily Zofos, such a pleasure having you. Thank you so very much for joining me. Really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You as well. News is next when we return. Tariffs and us. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend happenings and have an all-new What's Worse. Your chance to call in, have your voice heard. Join us.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle?
Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump confirming that the 25% tariffs due to be imposed on Mexico tomorrow morning have been paused for a month. That after the president and Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum held a discussion about stopping the flow of drugs, including fentanyl, across the border. Meantime, in Washington, a major purge at the FBI, also imposed by the Trump administration.
The eight top officials at the Federal Bureau of Investigation have either been fired or forced to resign. Now they are being asked to, the FBI is being asked to produce a list of every employee who worked on any case related to January 6th. I am told this is some 6,000 FBI employees all told.
ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent Jonathan Carl. Employees with USAID, which provides billions of dollars to developing countries, told not to show up at the office in Washington today after Elon Musk said that Donald Trump had given him permission to shutter the agency. This is ABC News.